Welcome, welcome. You've tuned into the deep dive. This week, we're really cutting through the noise, looking at the mainstream media's featured news.
That's right.
We're exploring this fascinating source, the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing, which comes to us on behalf of the Great Awakening Report. And our goal today really is to connect the dots from the past week. We're looking at headlines that, well, according to this briefing, do more than just report events.
They signal something deeper.
Exactly. A world in transition, maybe hinting at signals guiding us toward greater awareness. It's going to be quite the exploration, so let's jump right in.
Absolutely. And, you know, the source material itself, this briefing, it doesn't mince words. It starts right out saying, the warning signs are no longer subtle assassinations, unrest, and censorship show us the system is failing.
Wow. Straight out of the gate.
Yeah. Now is the time to see clearly and act decisively. So throughout our chat, we'll be looking at how the briefing frames these, you know, seemingly separate events as these urgent signals for humanity to kind of wake up.
That's a really powerful way to frame it, isn't it? And you, our listeners, you're in for a really comprehensive look today because this briefing touches on so much.
It really does.
We're talking political violence, civil liberties getting squeezed, economic shifts, major geopolitical flashpoints, all seen through this very specific, this Great Awakening Report lens. So let's get into it. Okay, first up, we dive headfirst into political violence, civil liberties, and, well, the cracks showing in our institutions. The first headline from the briefing is, honestly, it's shocking. Killing of Charlie Kirk at Utah Valley University.
Yeah, that was jarring.
This wasn't, you know, a protest gone wrong. The source says conservative activist Charlie Kirk was fatally shot by a sniper while giving a lecture on campus.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it sounds like just pure chaos.
Hmm.
And it was all happening while his speech was being live streamed, thousands watching online. Then the FBI gets involved, a manhunt, and then this twist.
The father identifying the suspect?
The suspect's own father identified him, led to an arrest.
Hmm.
So what's the briefing saying here? What's the significance for, like, free speech and safety?
Well, the briefing really flags this as a critical moment, a dangerous escalation of political violence in the U.S. It argues this makes us ask some really hard questions, you know, about protecting public figures, about free speech itself on campuses.
Right.
From this perspective, the ideological split isn't just talk anymore. It's potentially becoming. And the briefing uses this phrase, acts of war on American soil.
Wow.
Yeah. For truth seekers, the source highlights how fear and hatred are weaponized to silence voices. And that, it says, threatens not just free speech, but the very basis of democracy.
That is a stark picture. This theme, weaponized fear and hatred, it seems to connect to the next point about civil liberties, too.
Mm-hmm.
Moving from individual violence to broader pressures. The briefing points to the UK protests over Palestine Action ban.
Right, in the UK.
Yeah, the UK government banned this group, Palestine Action, using terrorism laws. The reason cited was their actions against arms companies supplying Israel.
Direct action, yeah.
But critics, as the briefing notes, are pushing back hard. They're saying this basically criminalizes political dissent. It led to huge protests, hundreds arrested in London, and the timing—
During the Labour Party conference.
Right. And civil rights groups are apparently warning that the Terrorism Act is being stretched way too far here. How does the briefing connect this to, like, the bigger picture of democratic health?
The briefing suggests we look at the precedent this sets. How do governments define terrorism versus dissent? When you label direct action against arms dealers as terrorism, it argues you risk shutting down political expression itself.
It's a fine line.
A very fine line. The protests show many people see it as suppression of free speech, not just security. And the source argues this erodes democratic pillars, possibly opening the door for more authoritarian control. It's an example, it says, of how governments use crises to expand power.
And it seems these kinds of internal pressures aren't just happening in one place. The UK Labour Party's also had its share of, well, internal drama this past week.
Oh, yes.
The briefing mentions Lord Peter Mandelson being removed from a post because of undisclosed ties to Jeffrey Epstein going way back to 2008.
Right, that surfaced.
And at the same time, the deputy leader, Angela Rayner, resigned over a tax issue. These scandals, the source points out, hit party unity hard and kind of overshadowed everything else. How does the Great Awakening Report view these sorts of internal party struggles?
Well, the briefing sees these conflicts as significant. They weaken labor, sure, but more importantly, they chip away at public trust. From the Awakening perspective, it's framed as another instance of hidden networks, you know, elite connections, shadow money, compromised leadership being exposed.
Dragged into the light. as they say.
Exactly. The source suggests it's a reminder that the political class often serves itself before the people, which, you know, fuels that demand for different kinds of governance.
Okay, let's shift back across the pond. Domestic security in the U.S., a big move here. National Guard to Memphis.
That was announced.
President Trump, the briefing says, announced deploying the National Guard to Memphis to tackle rising violent crime. It had support from Tennessee's governor, local officials too. It fits into that broader federal law and order push.
Right.
Interestingly, the same report mentions Trump also approved disaster aid for storm-hit areas. But on the National Guard deployment, the source asks a kind of challenging question, doesn't it?
It does. It really flags the controversy. Deploying the Guard for urban crime, it's a major step. Supporters say it's about safety, of course, but critics, according to the source, worry it blurs the lines between military and civilian policing.
Militarizing civilian life.
Potentially. Setting a precedent. The briefing suggests it reflects a trend towards normalization of military presence in domestic affairs, getting closer maybe to martial law conditions. So the question it poses is key. Are such measures about safety or about control?
A lot to think about there. So wrapping up this first segment, the briefing identifies these emergent patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Polarization and violent societies fracturing and civil liberties under siege, governments redefining dissent, shrinking that democratic space.
Clear patterns emerging.
Okay, let's pivot now to our second segment, economic illusions and monetary control. We start with U.S. consumer sentiment declines.
Yeah, that Michigan survey.
Right, the University of Michigan September survey. It showed sentiment falling pretty sharply, actually, down to 55.4 from 58.2, which was unexpected.
Worse than forecasts.
Yeah, people worried about tariffs, inflation sticking around, job security. And their inflation expectations for the next year actually ticked up to nearly 5%. Given consumer spending is, what, two-thirds of the U.S. economy? This feels significant. Why does the source stress this, especially if, say, the stock market looks okay?
The briefing really zeroes in on this decline because it signals that the everyday economy, for a lot of people, is getting tougher, even if the stock market is near record highs.
Right, that disconnect.
Exactly. That disconnect between Wall Street optimism and Main Street pessimism is a core theme of the awakening narrative, according to the source. It's about exposing the illusion that headline statistics reflect true well-being. It suggests the system, or how it's perceived anyway, benefits a few while masking the struggles many face. You know, families cutting back because costs are real.
It is a stark contrast, isn't it?
Yeah.
But then almost paradoxically, you look at the financial markets and it's a totally different vibe. Markets rally on Fed rate cut hopes.
Yeah, the market surged.
Global markets jumped this week. The briefing notes why. Mm-hmm. Softer inflation data got people thinking the Federal Reserve will cut rates. Asian stocks hit records. Wall Street climbed, gold near its peak. Traders are apparently pricing in like a full percentage point of easing.
Wow, that's aggressive.
Yeah, driven by cooling CPI, PCE numbers, tech stocks getting a boost from AI earnings. So what's the source's take on this market rally? What are the bigger implications?
Well, the briefing urges us to look beyond the surface rally. It suggests this shows how much financial markets are increasingly addicted to monetary stimulus.
Yeah.
It highlights that detachment between financial speculation and real-world stability.
Speculation versus reality.
Pretty much. The source says monetary policy has become less about long-term stewardship and more about short-term rescue, which reveals, it argues, just how engineered the financial system is. Another reminder, it says, of the illusory nature of economic growth. And this dependency creates fragility, right? If the policy move doesn't work out.
Both investors and households could feel the pain.
Precisely.
Okay, digging a bit deeper into what the Fed might do. Fed policy shift anticipated. Analysts, economists, they seem almost unanimous, expecting a Fed rate cut soon.
The consensus is strong.
Supported by that softer inflation data, signals from the Fed itself. Markets are already betting on an initial, maybe 25 basis point cut, with more cuts possibly stretching into early 2026. Now, globally, that would ease things like mortgage rates, credit card debt, could help stabilize capital flows for emerging markets. But the briefing suggests this pivot isn't risk-free. What are the risks? And what's really at stake for the institutions involved?
The briefing connects us directly to the bigger picture. A Fed pivot would ripple through the global economy, offering some temporary relief, yes, to households, emerging markets. But as the source points out, the Fed's walking a tightrope.
How so?
Move too slow, you risk deepening a recession. Move too fast, you might just reignite inflation. So the briefing says the very credibility of central banking is on the line here.
High stakes.
Very high. If these cuts don't stabilize things, public confidence in these foundational institutions could really erode. And that growing distrust, the source notes, aligns with the broader awakening, recognition that money, credit, and markets are not neutral but controlled tools of power.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, broadening out one last time on the economy. Global economic and inflation pressures. Even with those signs of inflation easing a bit, the briefing highlights that things like tariff tensions, high expectations, they're still weighing heavily on the global economy.
It's not over yet.
No. Consumers are still feeling higher costs for essentials, businesses dealing with supply chain disruptions. Investors seem torn, you know. Optimism one day, fear the next. And emerging economies, the source notes, are facing unrest due to tariffs, food prices, currency swings. Beyond just the numbers, how does the source read the social impact of this ongoing inflation?
Our source frames inflation as extremely potent politically. One of the most politically volatile forces, it calls it. That gap between official stats and what people experience daily,
Yeah.
that undermines trust in institutions. People feel the numbers don't match their reality.
Yeah, you hear that a lot.
Right. And from the awakening perspective in the briefing, inflation is seen as more than economics. It's like a mirror showing how centralized systems fail to serve humanity's basic needs while enriching elites. And of course, it fuels unrest in those more fragile emerging economies.
Got it. So pulling these economic threads together, the pattern the briefing identifies is one of economic illusions. Wall Street seems okay, but households struggle. And policy looks like theater masking deeper instability.
A powerful summary of their view.
All right, moving into our final segment now. Let's explore digital sovereignty and geopolitical flashpoints, starting with something pretty dramatic in the digital world. Nepal's sweeping ban of major platforms.
Yeah, that was huge news.
The source details how Nepal just banned 26 major platforms. We're talking Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, X, YouTube, the big ones. Why? Because the companies didn't register under new government rules.
Citing national security and digital sovereignty.
Exactly. And this led to immediate backlash, protests, clashes with police, even reports of casualties as people resisted losing these tools. It's kind of stunning how fast digital access can just vanish.
It really is. For so many, these platforms are daily life.
Totally. Feels
And work.
incredibly isolating. So how does our source interpret the wider meaning of this kind of digital clampdown?
The briefing really emphasizes the significance here. Nepal's ban, it argues, shows the fragility of digital freedoms, how platforms millions rely on can just be switched off overnight. Communication, activism, information access, gone.
It's a wake-up call.
It is.
Yeah.
And the briefing notes governments globally are tightening control over the digital space. So the awakening lesson here, according to the source, is about the vital importance of decentralization, alternative networks, and building personal resilience and communication commerce outside these controlled platforms.
Because.
Because, as the source puts it, digital life is not truly sovereign. Our online presence is rented, not owned.
Well, rented, not owned. That's a thought-provoking way to put it for anyone online today.
Definitely.
Okay, finally, let's touch on geopolitics. Brazil and Poland, Russia tensions. Two distinct situations. In Brazil, former President Jair Bolsonaro got sentenced over 27 years for plotting a coup.
A seismic event for Brazil.
Hugely polarizing, the source says, supporters calling it political. Meanwhile, over in Europe, Poland reported a Russian drone deliberately flew into its airspace.
Raising fears of escalation.
Big time. Led to an emergency UN Security Council meeting, new NATO deployments. These are very different events, different regions. What connection or collective importance does the briefing draw from them?
Well, the briefing encourages looking at the wider impact. Bolsonaro's conviction is seen as a seismic moment for Latin America. Could deepen divisions, could strengthen democracy. Depends how it plays out, right?
Right.
The Russian drone incident, meanwhile, highlights that razor's edge where NATO-Russia relations are balanced. One misstep could trigger something much bigger. But for awakening observers, the source suggests these global power struggles can also act as distractions while deeper systemic shifts unfold beneath the surface.
Interesting perspective. Okay, so bringing these final points together, the emerging patterns identified here are digital sovereignty battles, platforms, AI becoming arenas for controlling information, maybe even consciousness, and geopolitical escalation, flashpoints flaring up across the globe in this multipolar world.
That sums up their take on this section.
Okay, truth seekers. Wow. We have covered a lot of ground today, digging into this Truth Seeker weekly briefing, analyzing the past week's mainstream news through its lens. We've touched on political violence, civil liberties feeling the pressure, those economic illusions, and the complexities of digital and geopolitical power plays. Let's try to consciously bring it all together now, revisiting those overarching themes from the briefing's emergent patterns section.
Yeah, let's recap those. The briefing highlights polarization and violence, showing society's fractioning, speech colliding with safety concerns. Then economic illusions, that gap between Wall Street and Main Street, with policy feeling like theater masking deeper instability. Also, civil liberties under siege, where governments redefine dissent, shrinking democratic freedoms. Then digital sovereignty battles, seeing platforms and AI as contested spaces for influence, and finally, geopolitical escalation with those global flashpoints.
And the common thread tying all this together.
The common thread, as the source presents it, is that every surface story is also a signal of awakening. It's about the collapse of illusions, the exposure of fragilities, and ultimately an invitation for humanity to reclaim sovereignty, resilience, and truth. These patterns aren't just random noise. The briefing sees them as converging signals of systemic change.
That's a really potent way to frame everything we've discussed, isn't it? The briefing, it consciously ties it up by saying, the world feels more chaotic by the week, but chaos is also a catalyst.
Exactly. And from that Great Awakening perspective offered in the source, it's clarified. The Great Awakening is not about ignoring these crises. It is about recognizing them as catalysts for discernment. It's about looking deeper than the immediate headlines.
Precisely. So as you go about your week, processing the news, we want to leave you with this final provocative thought pulled straight from the briefing's close. Quote, by recognizing patterns, questioning narratives, and reclaiming sovereignty, how might you transform the news from fear-driven distraction into fuel for conscious awareness?
Mm-hmm.
It's really an invitation, isn't it? To see beyond the surface noise and try to discern the deeper story playing out in our time. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing. We look forward to our next exploration together.